Say good morning to all of you. Certainly is a blessing for Fred and me to be with you all here this morning and have enjoyed our time of worship together so far. And always good to be with God's people in God's house. Before I get into the message here this morning, just on behalf of BMA and as original overseer, I did want to share with you as a congregation that this year is again the time for our BMA assessment of unity. And those of you that have been members for a long time, this is familiar, you're familiar with it. It happens every 5 years, and 2025 is our year for it. Last time we did it was in 2020. And it's the responsibility of the original overseer to work with the leadership team on behalf of that. And the way it works, for those of you that are new, there's a form, a piece of paper, simply 12 simple questions on, and you just fill it out. What it does is it gives every church member throughout the whole alliance will do this, and so it gives a good feel of where we're at as an alliance. Are we standing on the core values that back in the early years of BMA? Is this where we're still at, or where are we at? Are there things that we need to work on? And really, the goal is for spiritual, scriptural maturity, stability, and standing on scripture. And of course, our core values, the foundation is a scripture, and then the 63 Mennonite Confession of Faith is our confession of faith, and then BMA has a few clarifications with the statements of position and policy. And so you will find that form in your mailboxes this morning. And if you could fill it out and return it within 2 weeks, March 30th, and I put it back in Brother Harley's box, would be great. And the leadership team will then assimilate the results and submit that results to me, which I will need to, as regional overseer, submit it to our board of overseers then. So thank you for your participation, and thank you for your help in that, and God bless you for that. For a text here this morning, I'd like to look at several verses from Philippians chapter 4, and the passage of scripture here, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 is what I want to read as our text here this morning. Beginning in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Verse 7 is kind of a key verse for our text here this morning. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I've entitled the message this morning simply, "The Peace of God." Now, verse 7 there, you know, talks about the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know, we enjoy the peace of God, do we not, as believers? And, you know, there's two words that come to mind to describe the Christian life, and they're simply peace and joy. And they go so hand in hand. And, you know, in our text here this morning, there in verse 4, the instructions here is to rejoice in the Lord. And he doesn't say it just once. He said, and I say to you, rejoice. And so it must be important. Now, let me ask you this morning, how do you rejoice in the Lord? How do we do that? Well, you know, as we reflect on really the transformation that God has done in our hearts and lives, and it's the joy that he brings, the joy of the Lord. Yes, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the relationship, the fellowship that we have with God, God gives us his joy. And yes, it is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the characteristics there. The love, the joy, the peace, that is produced by the Holy Spirit of God within us. So it's not something we muster up, but although we must have a part to play in this, because he tells us that we are to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I believe a key is to make decisions in life that allow the joy of the Lord, may I say, to be in control. And as we do that, as that happens in our lives, the peace of God will be there as well. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You know, the peace of God, I can't explain it, can you? It's there. God gives it. And it's far beyond human understanding. You know, the world out there is looking for something that brings fulfillment, that brings peace, that brings joy. You know, we see so much unrest in our world today, and so much uncertainty, so much turmoil. The absence of peace. There's no peace. There's no joy because of the apprehension, because of the frustration, because of anxiety and all that. The peace and joy is gone. But as believers, our joy and peace is not determined by our circumstances, but by our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 7 there says that the God of peace, yes, will guard our hearts and minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's precious. The protection of God on his people. He protects us. Although, at the same time, yes, we have a part to play in this. You know, God has created us with that freedom of choice. We choose whether we're going to trust him. And we'll talk a bit more about that in just a moment. But I mentioned the fact that the unregenerate heart does not experience the peace of God. But those of us that have been born again, in fact, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is that when we're born again, our sins are forgiven, they're under the blood, they're taken care of, and we are brought into peace with God. We have that peace with God. We're no longer under condemnation, no longer under conviction of sin, but that conviction has been lifted and we've been released and we have the peace of God because of his forgiveness. And Psalm 29, the Bible says, the Lord will bless his people with peace. And that is precious. The peace of God, that is of tremendous value. I so much appreciate it. And I'm so thankful for the peace and joy that God gives us as believers. You know, in Romans 8 reminds us that the carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So that is clarifying that yes, the person that has not been born again, living in the flesh, will not experience that peace of God. But to be spiritually minded, have that transformation, that means life, eternal life, and peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What kind of peace does the world have to offer? Think about it. Oftentimes, peace as it is described from an earthly, worldly point of view, it's the absence of conflict. But I say this is far beyond that. Not only the absence of conflict, but the stress is gone. The peace of God is there. And in fact, in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, I think this is really a key. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." My friends, this morning, I believe that is a key right there to peace. When we trust God, the Bible tells us there in Isaiah, you know, "You will keep us in perfect peace." I like that. You like that too? Yeah, perfect peace. "Whose mind is stayed on him because," why? Because we trust in him. That's a key right there. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 15 also reflects very similar. He says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Again, we're trusting God. That's the key, and it comes through very clearly throughout Scripture. Perfect peace, as described here in Isaiah 26. I like that, the perfect peace. It's pretty straightforward. We trust him. We believe in him. Through the eyes of faith, we're trusting him to take care of all our difficulties. Yes, we will have difficulties. That's a part of life. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have tribulation." But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And he says there in John 16, you know, I speak these words to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. That's a part of living here, isn't it? A part of life, a part of doing life. We got those challenges. And it's not always, life is not always smooth sailing, that's for sure. And but in the midst of those challenges, in the midst of those difficulties, God is there to take us through. You know, and people from the outside look in, people that are not believers, and they see how believers respond in a time of difficulty, in a challenging time, because the God of peace is ministering peace to our hearts when we go through those difficult times, those challenging times. We all experience them. We all have friends that go through it, and we walk with them. Just 2 weeks ago, we had an older gentleman from our church who was dealing with dementia for a number of years, and he passed on. So while it's a bittersweet, he is now fully restored, fully healed, but yet it's a loss. We feel the loss in the relationship because we're created for relationships. And yes, the family feels that loss, but there's hope beyond the grave because of the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that he gives us in the midst of those challenging times. In Christ alone is where we find that peace. And because Christ was victorious, we can also live in that victory, and we can experience that overcoming power in our hearts, in our lives. And this peace of Christ is not determined by circumstances, but it is far beyond that. And in fact, there are several verses I'd like to read in Isaiah 43. Just a few thoughts here that really, I think it really speaks to this, and we get a good picture of really who God is. And, you know, while this was spoken, God spoke this to the children of Israel, you know, God has not changed. I think this very much applies to us today. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You're mine. That's personal, is it not? By the way, think about it. God knows your name. You're not just a number. He knows your name. He knows you, who you are. And if you're a born-again child of God, he's telling you, you're mine. Yes. You're bought with a price through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, fear not. Fear not. I've redeemed you. I'm with you. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Now, the time when the setting back there in Israel, when Isaiah, through the Lord, spoke this, God spoke to Isaiah through this and said Israel was in captivity because of their sin. They disobeyed God. They walked away from God. So they ended up in captivity. But God is saying, you come back to me. You repent. I will receive you. And I'll be with you. And yes, as you go through those trying times. And yes, as believers, we go through those troubling waters. And verse 2 talks about that. Those troubling waters and those rivers that want to overflow us and want to drown us. All that difficult stuff, God is with us. He says, I'll bring you through that. I'll bring you through that. Not only that, but the flame of fiery trials. I'm with you. I care for you. I'll bring you through that. I am with you. Fear not. I am with you. I am the Holy One of Israel. And my friends, this morning, I believe that applies to us as believers today as well. God cares for us. God loves us. And yes, he will walk through the difficulties with us and bring us out at the other end. And you know, God has not changed. God still cares for his people, and he will walk with us. And I think this passage really helps us to understand really the heart of God, who he is, and that, yes, he does indeed. He is the Holy One of Israel, yes. He is holy, and he calls us to holiness. But when we slip, we fall, we falter, we make bad decisions, we come to him in repentance, yes, he forgives. And he walks with us in our journey in life. And so really, it comes down to trusting him, really, is where it comes back to, really. If we're going to experience the peace and joy of God in our hearts, it really comes back to, are we willing to trust him with our today, with the challenge that we're faced, with the difficulty, with our future, with tomorrow? Are we willing to simply trust him and say, God, I'm believing and I'm walking with you? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Yes, when we trust him, we acknowledge him, we ask him to give us direction. We're not leaning on our own understanding, but we're trusting him. That, I believe, my friends, this morning is a key to experiencing that peace and joy of God in our hearts. So what is it that steals our peace? What happens that we lose our peace? I mean, it's happened to me. Probably happened to you too. We're very human, aren't we? Well, you know, what do we do about these things, circumstances that come up and cause anxiety and cause frustration and cause worry? How do we deal with that? How do we respond to that? Well, verses 6 and 7 of our text here in Philippians 4 addresses that. And in fact, I want to read it from the New Living Translation, which I feel it clarifies it so beautifully and puts it in everyday words. The text says here, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. And thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, prayer. That's the key right there. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So, are we going to worry or are we going to pray? So, as they say, so why worry when you can pray? And then maybe there's some people that say, well, why pray when you can worry? Which works the best? Which do you prefer? I guess the choice is yours. But I choose to, well, let's pray. Let's pray and allow God to take care of the circumstance. You know, really, as I was thinking about this, really comes down to the battle is in our minds, really. The battle is lost or won in our minds, you know. And the anxiety, the fear, the what if, or the uncertainty. Yeah, we see a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear in our world around us today. Can we have the peace of God in the midst of living in a world of uncertainty? Well, I think we can. And I think God wants us to. And God will provide that for us if we are willing. And, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Recently, I've been reading a book entitled Living Fearlessly. And in that book, the author addresses this thing of silencing the enemy. And he makes a good point. You know, Satan's purpose is to kill, to steal, to destroy, and he wants us to believe lies. That is how he gets us to go down in doubt, in fear, pull back. But you know what? The enemy really, truly does not have the power over us unless we allow him to have that power. That's the bottom line. That is why it is so important for us to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because Satan does not want us to enjoy the peace and joy of God in our hearts. He wants us to pull back in fear, in worry, in anxiety. And what does that do? It causes us, may I say, to be ineffective as a representative of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our witness will not be as clear when we're handicapped by fear and doubt, confusion, and all that. And so, bringing those thoughts into captivity. And I'm not talking about this whole gamut of positive thinking. It's far beyond that. It's allowing God to control our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How does that happen? How are our minds renewed? Well, it's renewed by what we feed into our minds. And what we feed into our minds, that becomes a part of a heart, really. And the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we feed on, that is what we become, and that is what then will flow out of us. Bottom line, really. And so, with that, our text here in Philippians 4 addresses that as well. And in verse 8, let me read that from the New Living Translation as well. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So, there we have it. We think about positive things. We think about what is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we fill our minds with truth. We fill our minds with what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, that probably eliminates a lot of the news media that we hear out there, doesn't it? Well, I don't know where you're at with that, the news and all that. I think it's good to be informed. I agree with that. I think it's good, and I do. But I find that I'm best off if I limit my intake of that stuff. That's just the bottom line. I'll leave that with you. I just share that for what it's worth in my experience. But really, bottom line is this. What we feed on determines our thinking, really. And we feed on, may I say, the trash of this world? Guess what? That's where our minds will be. That's what we will be thinking about. And but when we think, we fill our minds with truth, with the Word of God, and we allow God's Word through His Holy Spirit to change the way we think and align it with truth. I think that's a description of being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We allow God, through His Word, to change the way we think and align it with truth. And, you know, so what we feed on, that's a key. And right along with that, there's one more verse in Colossians 3 that I think really is a key. Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." And I think the one theme that keeps going with this, having the peace of God, is this attitude of thankfulness. And there Colossians 3:15 tells us that we're to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. How do you do that? Well, perhaps one way would be we make decisions in life, choices in life, that we know will promote peace on the inside, because it's what God wants for us. You know, we have the Holy Spirit within us that guides and leads us into all truth. Are we sensitive to the Spirit of God? We make decisions based on what we know that God wants us to make, how He wants us to respond, and that will promote the peace of God in our hearts. And so I think that's one application for that. And with that, yes, truly, we embrace the promises of God. We trust Him, and that will promote the peace within our hearts. You know, the Apostle Paul there in verse 9 of our text tells us that we are to apply these truths. And when we apply them, in fact, he says, follow me as an example. And I read that and think about, you know, could I say that of people around me, people that know me, people that interact with me? You do as I do. Follow my example. Wow. That puts some responsibility on us, doesn't it? But the Apostle Paul is saying, apply this truth and the peace of God will be with you. And that is, I believe, a key right there. Applying the truth of God's word will promote peace within our hearts, within our lives. And so, yes, may the God of peace enable you, empower you, and strengthen you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for the joy that you give us, the joy of knowing you, the peace of knowing you as our Lord and Savior, our guide, our Redeemer, our Counselor, our friend. Thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is very faithful in guiding and leading us into all truth. Thank you for the congregation here. I pray a special blessing on each one. Lord, I pray that each person may experience your peace, your joy in their lives to the fullest, and may demonstrate to a lost and dying world your love in a mighty way. Thank you for this time of sharing together. Pray your blessings on each person that is a part of this congregation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.